Lucas, Dave. Huh? Johnny Lucas.
Dude, that's good. Even. Yeah. Tokens. This Rosh Chodesh comes in the middle of the time from the Exodus from Egypt to the receiving of the Torah. And the Parsha we read on Shabbos deals with the plagues of Tzara'as, somewhat similar to leprosy. And to apply this to the present situation of the world, there's probably never been, since the time of the deluge, such a dangerous situation as exists today in the whole world. We define that the arms race is entering in a stronger fashion than ever. The acquisition of ABC, atomic, bacteriological and chemical weapons for mass destruction of human beings and of life on this planet. And the movements of hatred and hostility that exist today, that are dedicated to killings constantly and to destruction, some of them in the name of the Creator, has never reached such dangerous proportions as today. And when we think back to the time of the Holocaust, today there's not only danger of genocide, today there's a danger of homicide, killing human beings in a mass manner. And since some of the people directing these policies are deranged, and others amongst them are really criminals, it's a very dangerous situation. And here we are, little Israel, also the Jewish people, the major target, or one of the major targets, of these weapons of destruction, and these movements of hatred. And this is what is described in the prophets when it says that the Mashiach is a leper. It's illustrated in many episodes. One of the best known ones is when there was a Roman crisis in the world of a similar nature, not so destructive, without such advanced weapons of destruction, but still they also expressed at certain times, certain situations, enormous cruelty and also destruction, especially the destruction of the Second Commonwealth, transforming Jerusalem to ploughed up fields. So that is the situation in which there was a great saint, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who used to have regular revelations from Eliyahu, Hanavi. Now this concept, the revelation of Eliyahu Hanavi, is mentioned in the last verse of the last prophet, where it says, before the coming of the Mashiach, Hine yonuchi sholeach lachem, Eis Eliyahu Hanavi, Lifnei bo yoy mashem, Hagodol v'hanayro. You know the Nihun, yeah? This is what we sing frequently, similar songs in Yevaselom, Besorot, Tovot, Yishuot, Nechamot. So, the truth is, Ibn Ezra on the spot in the Raf said, what does it mean Eliyahu Navi is coming? He apparently died when he flew up into heaven. So he died. But we know throughout the Talmud, there were many sages who had revelations from Eliyahu Navi. But not only then, also in more recent times. There are people, the greatest saints, who, so they claim, had a revelation from Elijah. Elijah, the spirit of Teshuvah. But that's how it's described in the last verse of the last prophet. And when does it say it's going to come? Lifnei bo yom Hashem ha-gadol v'noho. And then it says, I'm going to send him. Penavo v'ketet ha-kol ha-aretz chedem. He has to come, because otherwise I might have to destroy the world completely. Doomsday is the last verse of the last Hebrew prophet. And in fact, many who speak about the future world, they say, doomsday is on the way for the human race. That's how the world is going these days. Unless what? Unless there'll be teshuva, unless there'll be a great change. And whenever we have the word, everybody asks the question, we have a ruling. There's no prophet who ever ends his prophecy on a spirit of doom, always on a spirit of hope and salvation. So how is it, of all the prophets, the last one of all of them, ends on a note of doom? And that's why when the Haftarah is read on Shabbat HaGadol, then one doesn't end on that verse. One speaks about the previous verse, which is hopeful. The answer is, pen is different in Hebrew to ulai. Ulai means perhaps, and pen means perhaps. Ulai is halavai. Ulavai is the hope of something good happening. Pen is the threat of something evil happening. That's the difference between the two in the Hebrew grammar. So there is a threat. When there's a threat of total destruction, that is the time when we can hope for salvation through the power of teshuva. Because Hashem will see to it that even though it seems that the world is doomed to complete destruction, but there's always the power of teshuva. And Hashem will see to it. First you'll see that if there'll be spontaneous teshuva, it won't be spontaneous, you'll teach the people of Israel, who represents Hashem in the world, to teach the principle of teshuvah. There's got to be a change of heart, a change of approach to life, to love life and not to love death. And today, we can say this conscious or sometimes the subconscious motivation of what's happening in the world, they're beginning to love death and destruction rather than choose the path of life. The path of life is the path of faith in a God who wants life and a God who gives everything to human beings so that we live in the divine image and live. But unfortunately, the greatest gift Hashem gives to mankind is the power of choice. You can choose life, you can choose death. This applies to each individual. It applies to the Jewish people, it applies to all human beings. Are you going to choose life? You're going to choose death. You should know that if a person, he descends to the animal level, then he's choosing death. We've got an animal inside ourselves, but we've also got a divine soul. And with that divine soul, we can achieve not only life on this earth, but eternal life. But if we choose the path of just giving in to our lowest animal instincts, which can easily become, not from manipulation of other people, can come from the desire to consume and destroy other people. If we find that the only thing that's important is my own desires of the animal nature, to have as much money as possible, as much territory as possible, to go and kill as many people as possible, this is, we've been shown it under the Holocaust, one of the most extreme example till then. And if we don't take notice, as I say, of the genocidal Holocaust, we're going to have what they call omnicide. means that man, there'd be groups in mankind will destroy everybody else. We see it in front of our eyes, those who watch what are fortunate enough to have to go and watch tied to the screen and see the terrible things that happen today. Even to speak about them is grotesque. That can have a bad influence. So it expresses the power of evil amongst mankind at its lowest possible grotesque level. So, this is what we're experiencing. So that is where it all starts. The highest level of the human being, which he has over the animal world, is the power of speech, the development of the mind, which comes through speech. That speech can become speech which kills, as we see in the movements of hatred today, the speech kills, creates the speech that goes around today, such a movement as Daesh, which is basing itself also on methods used by the Nazis and other methods they find to go and spread cruelty throughout the world, having great influence, not only in the Muslim world, but also in the lower levels of Western society. There's so many of them. They find this adventure, you know, we've gotten to this new Islamic state, and in the name of some superstitious form of religion, which worships death, they'll say, let's try and kill as many people as possible. And they're planning all sorts of things. Yeah, they say, you know, 9/11 will be, they're planning things which are much worse than 9/11. So, get these maniacs taking over the world. The situation is indeed very dangerous. Where does it all start from? Surah Us. Amongst the people of Israel, in any case, people of Israel, we're supposed to be a model for the rest of the world. It all starts through debasing the power of the mind and speech, which is the vehicle of the mind, and using it for evil instead of using it for good, using it for hate instead of for love. And therefore the Mashiach, who is the greater personality, who will follow the way of David HaMelech and try to set up a complete society of the people of Israel, because of all the trials and tribulations that we've passed through throughout our history. So we know our task is to be light to the nations, but we have to fulfill it by elevating the power of a speech to its highest level instead of allowing it to be debased. So we, despite the terrible situation outside, the Mashiach is waiting for all of us, which means, you know, we want Mashiach now. Yes, but the Mashiach wants us now. And this is illustrated by this episode. Shua ben Levi, he had revelations from Elijah. It means he had inspirations of a higher level, how to help Am Yisrael. And I'll tell you, I even had a story told, which not told by the children themselves, that Reb Eliyahu Lapian, one of the greatest Musa teachers, and his children and grandchildren, they also are great teachers of Torah all over the world. Got quite a few of them in our neighborhood. And he was on the highest level of the development of Musa, the famous Talmud Torah of Kelm, which was led by the grandson of Abishrol Salante, who was a major disciple, Muslim Hussein. And they learned also what Abdesla learned, and you find his character, then he became a great Musa teacher. And the children describe that when he was once, his wife was very sick and so on, so Eliyahu appeared to him and showed him which herb would heal his wife and the other. Anyway, the story is told, he went in to see the Gerer Rebbe, Beis Yisrael, and also they had privilege to know both these great saints. One of the greatest saints among the Hasidim, the other one, greatest saints amongst all the Musa teachers. And he went in, and this Beis Yisrael didn't stand up for people, but he stood up for him. He hadn't met him before, he stood up for him. And when the Shamsa asked, why did you stand up for him? Because he was younger than him, and wasn't so well known yet. But he said, he's had Gilu Eliyahu. And that's Fath Be'er, the Rebbe also had Gilu Eliyahu. So Gilui Eliyahu is something which is mentioned frequently in episodes in the Gemara and the Midrashim, and is mentioned later on as well. And even Ibn Ezra, a very critical commentary on the Tanakh, refers to it and says, yes, Eliyahu is a spirit, somehow, although he's died physically, but his spirit hovers over mankind, over people, to bring the saints to create a teshuvah movement. People should change. And that is what can be the protection. So anyway, Shum and Levi, he asked Eliyahu, where can I see? You say, as when is the Mashiach going to come? He asked him this question, which he asked today as well. So Eliyahu said to him, go and ask him. Where can I ask him? Well, do you expect me to go to 770? It didn't exist at that time. It didn't exist. So he said, you'll find him in the lepers' colony outside Rome. How do I know who's the Mashiach? There may be 1,000 lepers there. He said, the one who keeps on changing his bandages. Why does he keep changing his bandages? At any moment, there might be more merit, more teshuva amongst Am Yisrael than people who become sinners, who Baal Averus. And therefore the balance will be the scale of merit. And the Rambam says, or the Gemara as well, the moment there'll be more virtue in the world, in the world of the Jews especially, than there'll be vice, the Mashiach will be here. So all we have to do is, like everything works according to majority, Achram Lahatot. Where a majority of good forces that can counterbalance the evil forces in the world, and here we don't go by numbers or statistics, here we go by quality. So therefore, the world can change any day. And that's going to be our attitude today as well. The world can change through our power of Teshuvah, and we have to emphasize it. And the truth is, it's today, what is described perhaps in somewhat more imaginative terms to be things which are faith, ideas of having faith in what might happen in the future, but are far removed from the world of fact. But it's not so. Let us say, if the Jews today be here, we would really represent the highest level of morality for the world. We will get more allies from many people, the rest of the world. And that's what depends on us. Because we have to create the change. That's the concept of Sora'at. So, I want to say something here, which has to do with the last week's parsha, in connection with this. Because the type of Sora'at mentioned in the Chumash is a moral teaching. So if you turn to 134 in the Jerusalem Bible.
Which pasuk? Which?
Chapter 14 of Vayikra.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Verse 34. There are three types of leprosy mentioned. You know, the leprosy in the body, leprosy in the garment, and leprosy on the house. We have a fungus which comes from the house. Now, it's clear that all these were sort of miraculous expressions. They're not the normal form of leprosy. They were all special signs from Hashem to the people of Israel when they were on a high level, how they should be aware of guarding their tongues, that the power of the mind, which develops the power of speech, can be used to the highest moral development to create saints. That's why it's also regarded as something, speech is holy, but if it's debased, it can be used as a tool of destruction, for not just for the individual, but for society. So this is the deeper significance of these three levels. We can say, on the mitzvah side, we've also got three mitzvot, which the sages say, if you perform them, then you're protected from evils, you reach a higher level. For the body, it's tefillin. For the garment, it's tzitzis. And for the house, it's the mezuzah. So these are, I can say, the three levels of the human being. One is his body and his inner characteristics. The other is garments, which is his image, the way in which he creates relationship with the world around him, which is a reference to the midot. Midot are called, the word midot also means garments, and also means the way in which the high levels of the soul, which are the root of the human life, the human being, the highest level, they can be developed through garments. That means through the way in which a person clothes his soul and develops relationship with the outside world. That's the garment. And then the house is the creation of society. Zut betech o bisharecha. That the whole of society can be governed by holiness through mezuzah, or the opposite, through lashon hara, through evil speech. So here it says, I'll just see the most unusual form of leprosy is the one that comes in the house. So these verses read as follows. When you come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, I put the plague of Tzarat in the house of the land of your possession. And he that owns that house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seems to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command to empty the house before the priest goes in to see the plague. And then what does he do? He, if the plague be in the walls of the house, green or red depressions, then the priest shall guard the house and shut up the house for 7 days. He comes back, and behold, the plague is spread to the walls of the house. So they shall take away all the stones in which the plague is. They shall cast them into an unclean place outside the city, and shall cause the house to be scraped within round about. They shall pour out the dust that they scraped outside the city, unclean place. Then take other stones and try and rebuild it in a good manner. But this describes how this house is going to be broken down. So there's a... Now the other leprosy forms, it doesn't say when you come into the land of Canaan. Doesn't emphasize, because that's no. I mean, all these mitzvot apply only when you come into the land at some level. Why is it emphasized? The veit eretz avuzatchem. It's in the house of which you've taken possession. And then it says asher lo abayit. You say, why does it say the person the mouth belongs to? So the sages comment on this. This is also a reference to what we can call the national house of the people of Israel. In fact, there's a comparison made here by Ibn Ezra already, that the way of purification goes by taking an agudat ezav, taking a bundle of the smallest herbs available. The hyssop. Hyssop is like a moss, small, very small herbs. Rekachtem lachem agudat ezav. So the midrash will point out where would you find a similar procedure? Can any of you tell me beforehand, before this law was given? They always had to take the smallest herb, a bundle of the smallest herb, and sprinkle something onto the house.
The doorpost and the blood.
So that's right. So if you turn to the beginning of the people of Israel, when they were in Egypt. And they were in Egypt, they were also surrounded by using the power of speech to promote hatred and evil and rebellion against Hashem. And the people of Israel are also partly affected by this. So then it says in chapter 12 of Shemot, you'll find it here in page 76, Jerusalem Bible. That's chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 22. When a kartem agudat ezav, you should take a bundle of hyssop and dip it in the blood of which common? Pesach. On Pesach. Would you put it on the lintel? The lintel. So on the lintel and the two doorposts. And then those houses will be saved. So we see here the basis of the salvation of the people of Israel from the enormous contamination of the Egyptians. In fact, it's also Midrash. The Egyptians also became lepers. Pharaoh himself became a leper. So to get rid of this evil spirit that surrounded them, they had to dedicate themselves to Hyssop. They had to feel humility. It's very important. To feel that man does not rule the world. And if you feel humility, you can also reach the level of Aguda. Aguda means to be bound together. So therefore, in order to create a people that would work together and not at loggerheads with one another, and not spreading hatred for one another, on the contrary, trying to create a bond of love, which can really come through humility, but everybody's different. We've got to learn how to live in this world together. So that's the great lesson of Yetziat Mitzrayim. This brought us out of Egypt. And everything starts in the house. From the house of the family, we go to the house of the nation. And that's the concept. Also, you see, this first mention of mezuzah, that this has to do with also the mitzvah of mezuzah. It's just the doorposts are important. How you enter the house. What does it mean? You establish a home. And we should know that this globe is a home for mankind. We've got to know it's a home. And there's also a father of the home. Our father is the father. It's not just a happening. It's a home, and we have to learn how to live together with one another in holiness, which means not to allow the power of individual pride and swollenness of itself, of mankind, of the human individual. That's that what leads to destruction and hatred. So this is the comparison we find between this and what it says about leprosy. Because they also have to take for purification, they have to take also a bundle of hyssop. And that brought them to the salvation. So I think this is a very important lesson for us today, that if we would only, in Israel, instead of having all sorts of divisions that create hostility of one group and another, if we would all work together, recognizing even at this stage all the social morality of the Torah. In fact, I think one person, when I first came to Israel, I prepared a program. I gave it to the Minister of Education. That was the approval of the President of Israel. I had the privilege to teach him. So I presented a program which should be introduced into all the schools and all the places of education in Israel. And that is to make a curriculum, because the spirit of the people was unfortunately removed from Hashem. So you can make a curriculum of moral training for all groups of society, because they all need it. Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael today, there's nothing we need more than, we can call it the Musa of the Torah, and if they will teach it everywhere, it will bring such benefits unimaginable. And you see, we see it in front of us. Well, you see, let's say, many Russians, immigrants, they know nothing about Hashem. And they've been very contaminated with atheism, many of them. And not really so much interested in anything religious. But what happened was, a few people, I knew them also, been involved with it, they started the school system on the highest level of proficiency in passing exams, which is high level. But also a high level of discipline. They introduced rules of discipline for the children that go to those schools. So many Russian parents especially were interested. They said, these other schools had no discipline. They're going for drugs, they're going for violence. These schools, no, they train them. How they train them? They take all the laws of the Torah and they teach them how to behave. They're Eretz on the highest level. Because they're even willing to swallow the more difficult pill of the children coming home saying, let's keep Shabbos. No. But many parents don't mind. Except they become better human beings. So, or a child will also let them keep Shabbos, let them keep Kashrus if they want. And so there we've got 63 schools. I mean, Baruch Hashem is growing. But it's got to come through the whole country. They all need it. Persons say, well, I don't believe in religion. But why? You don't believe in, you do believe in movements of hatred. You do believe in youngsters becoming criminals that you do believe in. I mean, there's no sensible person, however far he's removed, who can't appreciate it. If we will introduce a code of this nature of all education in Israel, then we've got the ability to build up and it become known. I mean, just like today, I would say, if you go in the hospitals and you see, as I've been around with the hospitals the last few weeks, you see that so many of our cousins, of Muslims, all the benefits they get in the hospitals, where the doctors, the nurses, they treat them just like they treat the Jews, no difference, but save lives, help them. And they're very helpful. And they see this going on all the time. If they will see a similar approach in business, in society, in the shops and so on, that the Jews, they have a training, just like the many, why they go to all our hospitals, they'd be quite ready, many of the, even of our so-called enemies, but in secret, they often bring Jewish doctors or Jewish nurses to go and help them. And they'll see also that this does not only apply when they're physically sick, what applies when they're morally sick. And then they've got to work, we've got to remove the tzaraas from our level, and then it can be removed from mankind. And today, we can link up. Like I found out, didn't even know this before, but I found out from certain articles I read, that not only the Roman, I knew it a long time ago, the Roman University, Department of Islam, is led by a big expert who is one of the major spokesmen against the fundamentalist terrorist tendencies of the rest of the moral world. It's the same in Cairo University, where even at the time of the Rambam was similar, because he went to Cairo, or near Cairo, and there the Sultan was very pro-Jewish, especially the higher level Jews, and also the university, the oldest university in the world. And the Rambam was invited to give some shiurim there. I mean, he knew Arabic well, as we know, and he gave the instruction in many of the sciences and the philosophies. So this is what we have to adopt today as well, and to try to enter into the other big powers, be they the East and the West, or the Middle East, and try to transform, make a new Middle East. We know that the former president of Israel often spoke about creating a new Middle East on the basis of economy. Because he said, well, if we'll have a good economy, and we'll help also all the Muslims to have a good economy, there'll be peace. And there is, often there is peace. If you have enough money to live on all over, there's peace. That's why so many Arabs in Israel, really, despite all the propaganda from some of the religious, so-called religious leaders, but they know they're better off in Israel than they're off in many other places. And they like to be here. And that's for many, in many ways, although they have a bit of an inner conflict. But economy by itself won't work. Got to make a new Middle East, 5, a new morality. It's a Middle East morality. And that's the concept of tzaraat. That will create... And one of the problems is, when we have our own nation, then it's our own national ego that takes over. And we say, yeah, we've got to be different. We've got to have a, you know, got to have a different government, a different sports team, a different entertainers. But that becomes something hollow. If in the lifestyle we don't have any specific religion aspect to it, a special moral teaching, why should we be separate? No need to be separate. But therefore the tzaraat comes, because you think it's your land. No, it's not your land. The land of Israel is the land of Hashem. So let us hope we'll all do teshuva, remove the tzaraat, and then we meet Hashem, the what to be sure of Levi, when he asked the Mashiach when he's coming, what did he answer him?
Today.
So let us make use of the now to change. Yitzhashem, we see a change all around us.